Blog Talk Radio.
Devon Wilson, Ray, the whole troop. Somehow my music won't stop, but I'm going to stop it somewhere along the line, and we're going to keep talking here. This has really been good. Sorry we missed y'all last week. We had a little technical difficulties, but we're back here doing it. There's a lot happening. For the next hour, you know how we do it. Join us around the table if you want to join the conversation. It's going to be myself and Ray in the house right now. Marcus is away tonight. He might join us later on in the show. But we got a lot to talk about, so feel free to join us around the table tonight, have a conversation. We're excited. You know, it's revving up. This is that special time of year. You can sniff it in the air. It's football season around the corner. This is the best time of the year. Baseball's kind of warming up. Trade deadline's passed. You know, it's starting to heat up. The race is trying to heat up. Football camp is coming. You know, you can almost hear a couple balls dribbling, basketball not too far around the corner. This is, for me, the special time of year. So, you know, we're going to have fun with it tonight. Everybody knows the news of the day. Favre says he's not coming back. I can hear that's the air coming out of all the folks over there in Viking Nation. Who just knew they were going to bitch last year's season where they got kind of crushed at the end of the season with New Orleans. New Orleans put that thumping on Favre. He threw this interception at the end of the game. Ray, where do you want to begin? We want to begin with Favre. Let's begin with Favre since that's the thing out there. What's your thoughts about Favre?
Well, you know, he's not done. You know, you might see him at the end of camp. You might see him in October. As soon as they, you know, collectively all join together in Minnesota and yell please at the same time, he'll come back. I don't believe that he's done. Unless his ankle's, you know, worse than he thought. But they've been showing him working out at the high school and doing those things you know, if he's done, he's done. You know, he deserves to be able to retire when he wants to. That's for sure. But you know, he never does what you think he's gonna do. I mean, he goes to the NFC championship game last year. You know, they were, you know, a score away from playing in the Super Bowl. So. I thought for sure he would come back. That Vikings team is solid with him at quarterback. And they're still a solid team. You know, as long as you have Adrian Peterson, you can do some things. And the defense is tight. So I think if they need him to come back, he might just show up.
See, that's the part that just – and it may be because, you know, I like to have a lot of things set and organized. Like, I heard people talking about, well, he'll come back by week six. And I'm like, where's the continuity? Like, why – like, you're going to come in at week six, and so, you know, we already have a quarterback. We developed a continuity. We got something going. And now you're just going to step in here in week six or a week whatever, and you're going to play? Now, I can understand coming in later in the camp. I mean, if you for me, if you're not coming in by the end of camp, by the time of the season, you retired in my mind.
Well, then that's probably the way you'll see it roll out. If they need it, if Jackson goes down, you know, Sage isn't ready to step in. You know, even in week six, he has a better grasp of this, you know, offense than either of those two. So, I mean, if they need him, I could see him coming back.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that in an emergency situation. They see that
right.
He's out. I can see him, you know, coming out of the bullpen and doing that. But if, you know,
right.
Things are going well and he just decides he wants to come back, you at some point you got to say, nah.
You know,
I mean,
and here's the scary thing. You know, what if Rodgers goes down? What if Green Bay calls it, you know? He's retired. He can go where he wants to. You know, if they give him his release, if he actually gets his papers, then you could say he's done.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just Brett calling a few guys saying, hey, I probably ain't going to be there. That's my understanding of it. I don't know that there's been a news conference. I don't know that he's announced anything.
Yeah, they said there were a couple of text messages that were sent. I think Longwell said that he spoke to Brett, and Brett never said anything about retirement. I truly like Brett not wanting to participate in camp, which I can understand. Why don't you just, I mean, children should just say, you know, Brett, he's 41 years old. We're not really asking him to be here right at the beginning of camp. I mean, sometimes people just got to come out and say that. You know, we this is a guy, and everybody will understand, is this is a guy that's over 40. You know, a long, grueling preseason camp is not something he needs. You know, or set it up where it's set up that, you know, early on in camp, we're not going to have him do a lot of reps and just have him there with a shirt on and walking around.
Right, and that's the other thing that, you know, if he was going to, you know, and that was the same, you know, same complaint in Green Bay. I don't think anybody ever asked him really to come to camp in Green Bay and do anything. Just come to camp.
Yeah.
Be at the meetings, be the team leader, be the captain, you know, set an example. Don't make us go so far to you out of our way to accommodate you. You know, just show up. And he hasn't wanted to have to do that for the last 5 or 6 years, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's Brett Favre. You know, I don't know. I think he had a great year last year, and it might be a good year to go out in, you know. But he's done that a couple of times.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's interesting. There's a lot of this storylines here, you know, as the NFL season is beginning. You know, you and I kind of talked off air a little bit about, you know, what's happening in Washington with Haynesworth. I love with Golic running the show, running actually, you know, making it under the time. And
yeah, well, Golic's in better shape than he was when he was playing. He been drinking that Slim Fast. He lighter on his feet. You know, he been working out. Golic ain't fooling nobody. Golic never went to camp that healthy, you know. Not that big.
Yeah,
he's fried eating chicken, boy, you know. Now he's doing that Slim Fast. He probably got to have a meal, you know, just to do it.
And, you know, he got that P90X going, you know. So he gets his workout on. But, you know, I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting because this is about the will of the team and whether or not Shanahan can really put his input on the team about how we're going to be playing.
And like I said off the air, you know, I don't think that it would be a problem for Haynesworth to do this, you know. If he's as light as they said he is, you know, he's been working out. He's just trying to show Shanahan, you know, you can push, I can push, you know. Do we really have to do this? You know,
well, I think we got somebody who wants to join us here on the air. So let me see what we got right here. Let me try to get this going here. Hello, who do we have here on the air trying to join the Real Sports Guys?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Bill calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
How you guys doing tonight?
All right,
good,
how you doing?
Yeah, I just want to chime in, man. I listen to you guys. You know, I just see you guys for a few minutes here. Like you said, I think it's basically what you said. It's pull and push, pull and push. Shanahan trying to teach him a lesson, and, you know, Haynesworth, man, might not even be, like you say, that hurt. Just trying to teach him a lesson. Like, you can't push me around type stuff, man. You know, just because don't get out of hand, man. They need to be focusing on winning and trying to get that team, trying to get the cohesiveness they need, you know, to try to even contend in that division. You know, that's the thing, first thing they need to be trying to do anyway, you know. I mean, all that stuff should have been settled behind closed doors anyway. Ainsworth should have never went public with that anyway if he had a gripe about the 4-3, the 3-4 defense. Yeah.
Right, right. But again, you know, Haynesworth is Haynesworth, and he's, you know, he is the backbone of that defense. And now all of a sudden, it's like whatever he did doesn't matter. We're going to come in with this 3-4, and you're going to play what we want you to play. And he hasn't been anybody's fool, you know. He just signed that big contract, and everybody's saying, oh, he signed a big contract. He got that $21 million bonus. He should be toeing the line. Well, he got that $21 million bonus because he's Haynesworth. You know,
yeah,
they should be building that defense around him. And now all of a sudden you get a whipcracker like Shanahan. He coming in there and he's saying, well, you're going to do it the way that I want you to do it. And Haynesworth is saying, no, I don't play like that. I'll play. I'm the best guy, you know. As far as Haynesworth is concerned, he's the best guy on the team. And so they've been fighting this battle all offseason, you know. He asked for a trade. He wanted to be traded, you know. He wanted a different defense, you know. And so this is just a continuation of the fight that they've been having. I agree that they shouldn't go so public with it. But at some point, you know, maybe that's what Shanahan has to do in public and say, look, I'm going to talk to Haynesworth in the office. You guys take your pads and pencils and come back in a week and see if we don't have this figured out. And then just go talk to him as a man. Say, look, this is how I think we can play. This is how I'm going to try to help you get in the Hall of Fame. How's that?
Now, are you a Washington Redskins fan? Are you a Redskins fan?
Nah, football is fan in general. No, I'm a Bears fan. That's me.
Uh-oh. Okay.
From Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Wait. We got to stop for a second. From Milwaukee?
I was born and raised in Chicago. I moved up here when I was 17.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So this caller, I'm calling from Beloit.
Okay.
So you realize that if there's a Beloit, there's a South Beloit. So there's a lot of Bears fans around here, too.
Oh, yeah. I live up there. Yeah, man. I see the big divide, you know. But I'm a Bear fan through and through. I can't stand the Packers, man. I give them their respect, you know what I'm saying? They did a good job. And I like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a good quarterback, man.
How do you think the Bears are going to do this year?
Realistically, like I say, I'm a realist fan. I give a man nothing. I give him probably maybe 8, 7, or 9 seasons. They still have a lot of things they need to plug. You know, but basically, like you said, they have their wide receiver, man. You know, they need high heels. You know, because they're only 5'11", 6 feet, man, and Devin Hester is not Steve Smith. You know, they can try to play him like Steve Smith, but he's still not Steve Smith. He's probably only somebody that's 6 feet or under that can do what he does, you know, and Devin Hester is not their guy. They need a big play guy, and that's gonna hurt them in the long run. You know, they're so hard on Greg Olsen, and Greg Olsen is a great pass-catching tight end. He may not be a good blocker, but they drafted him for a reason. He made Brian Greasy look good, you know, and they're trying to get, you know, they need some more on our offensive line. You know, they got a couple rookies and stuff, but, you know, because they have to protect Cutler. Cutler can't, you know, Cutler get rushed, he's going to make mistakes. But if he can sit back there, which has been shown when he was in Shanahan's offense, if he can get Klein back there, he's just as deadly as any other quarterback in the league. But if he's got to run around and throw off his back foot all the time, any quarterback other probably than the great Brett is going to make mistakes.
But I think March is going to help him with that. I think that he's going to be – He's not going to have to run around. I think that he's going to do a nice three-step drop. That ball is going to come out quick with that new offense. And they just brought Isaac Bruce in to work with those receivers. And, you know, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce, you know, they weren't household names before that, you know, before they got to St. Louis. So, you know, I think that they have some receivers that can play a little ball if they can work that offense out and put enough receivers out there.
But what I'm hearing about is with Olsen, that thing about Marsh's offense, he's never really featured a tight end. I never saw him. And so now you have a Pro Bowl type tight end, and Marsh hasn't shown, and maybe he'll surprise us, he hasn't shown to adjust to the talent. Like, he has his system, and that's his system. And so the tight end gets lost in his system. And so that I want to see how that Olsen part plays out. I know they're talking the right game, but I just have never – I know Cutler going to look for him, but I've never really seen the tight end featured in a Marks offense. And that's the part where I'm struggling to see how this is a fit. I know Lovey had to get people around him who he's comfortable with this year, because this is a key year, and he's very comfortable with Mark.
Key year last year.
It's Lovey's ass if they don't win, you know. Let's be real. Lovey might have reluctantly brought Mark in, realizing that he, you know, if he doesn't have all the talent that he needs, there's nobody to exploit a defense like Mark. So
yeah,
I think, you know, they're going to score some points. I believe that. You know, I believe that wholeheartedly. I look at a Mark offense like I look at a basketball offense, and those players have to figure out where they're going to score and make their adjustments within that offense. They have to understand where they're going to make their play. And if they do that, they're going to have success. Even Olsen will have success.
Yeah, that's true. And they dropped the ball, man. They could have went out and got one of those wide receivers that was out here on the block. And, you know, it's just, you know, the GM, man, he just, I don't even call his name anymore, because he's so dead set on saving those draft picks, because he gave so many up for Cutler that he could have gave some of those draft picks up and went after Anquan Boldin or Brandon Marshall or somebody, anybody. Just try to go, you know, get somebody out there other than sitting there trying to fool the people. And if anybody know football and got any type of common sense, talking about we're finding where we're at. We're not finding where we're at. You know, unless one of those rookies that's happened to step up and come out of nowhere, like you said, like with, you know, with Torrey Holt and those guys came out of the woodwork, but I still think they still need that big play receiver.
Well, yeah. And don't forget that, you know, in that March offense, that Forte has got to catch the ball. He's got to come out of the backfield. I don't look for Chester Taylor. You know, Chester Taylor is who he is, you know, and if he could have been such a magical running back, he'd still be up in Minnesota. But, you know, I think that if Forte can get into that offense, he should be the one licking his chops, because now those linebackers have to play honest. And that was always the problem that he had before, was that, you know, those linebackers could stay home quite a bit with the receiving core that the Bears had and beat up on that running back when he came through. Now they have to get out and play these flats. And Forte, you know, if he gets into that secondary, he's just a little brute. So he should be the one that's licking his chops. He should be the happiest guy in Chicago right now.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get back to his rookie form, man, because, you know what I'm saying, he was looking very good that rookie year. And then, yeah, they just put eight in the box on him, man. And, you know, and they're like, oh, he regressed. Well, you put eight in the box against anybody, that's what's going to happen. I mean, what else are you going to do? Yeah, you know, you got to spread them out. And hopefully, you know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but, you know, looking at their schedule, and I just don't see them doing no better than 7-9, 8-8 right now. And they're going to have to make some drastic improvements. I don't know if they're going to do with Lovey. More likely probably going to lose his job. The GM needs to go through. I mean, maybe they need to clean house, because they finally got a quarterback, and they're going to have to make some moves, because they're going to quietly find themselves at the bottom of that division, because Detroit's going to get better year by year. And if they don't make no changes, they're going to be bad.
Yeah, Detroit came out of that draft looking real good in another 2 years. Another 2 years, and Detroit's going to be somebody to contend with, as long as they keep progressing the way that they have. Right now, you know, after today's announcement, if Favre's not coming back to Minnesota, I think Green Bay owns the division. It's theirs to lose. Minnesota is certainly, you know, right there in contention. They dropped a notch, but not so much. And then Chicago, and then Detroit, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they you know, keep all of this together and send somebody to the playoffs that can make some noise.
Yeah. And I forgot your name there from Milwaukee. What's your name again?
Oh, Lavelle.
Lavelle, first of all, I want to thank you for being on the show. Let me ask you, you know, as you look at the rest of the, you know, thinking about the season coming up, where do you see some other up-and-coming teams in the NFL? I mean, as you start to think about the season.
Up-and-coming teams? I think San Francisco is going to do a lot better than what people think. Like I said, I have a lot of faith. I guess maybe it's a Chicago bias thing, but I believe Mike Singletary can coach those guys up. If you can turn Vernon Davis into a Pro Bowler like he did, I mean, he's going to take those guys a long way. They did pretty decent in the draft. You know, Alex Smith just has to manage the game. You know, they got a good running back. Their defense is going to be solid. There's one thing I'm confident in. It's going to be solid. You know, as far as it's going down the list, I believe Cincinnati is going to get back to where they need to be. It was a great addition with T.O. I mean, it's not going to be the old T.O., but their defense is going to be a lot better. People don't realize for the past 4 or 5 years with St. Louis and Cincinnati, they've been drafting in the top first 2 rounds on defense. And it showed with Cincinnati. It'll show later on with St. Louis, but it showed with Cincinnati. They made a lot of good pickups on defense. And I believe that's one of the teams of the AFC. I'm still teetering on Houston. If Matt Schaub can stay healthy, I think they may squeak in the playoffs this year because they've been teetering back and forth. I think that's another team that's going to get, you know, in. My surprise team, I believe that when people don't think they're going to do anything, they're going to regress, but I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to surprise a lot of people because they're not paying attention to them. They think they're going to fall off. Now, I think they're going to catch a lot of people on their heels as far as the NFC. You know, so
I don't think AFC West,
my dark horse team, this is the last team. I think the Oakland Raiders is going to do a lot better than what people think, a whole lot better, with Jason Campbell down there.
I think, you know, because Oakland had a great draft, I thought. I mean, there's some things they were doing. You can tell someone else is kind of influencing some things there. They made some real good decisions. Oakland's going to be an interesting situation to watch because they've been down for so long, but it seems like they've made some solid decisions here recently. And I like that as a, and I, you know, a lot of people are talking about it, but they've made some solid decisions here recently. So to see where that's going to go, there's a lot of interesting conversations. Arizona is another one. Yeah, I think you hit right on the head, Lavelle. That, you know, Arizona. Everybody calls them out every time they keep on the top of that division, and no matter what, and they're going to be interesting. You know, they're going to be running a little bit more, you know, with Beanie Wells and trying to get the running game going. You know, they're going to be a little bit more physical, but, you know, a lot of those people, a lot of those teams in that division are still in transition, so they're still, you know, I think formidable team in that division. So there's a lot of highlights there that I like. I love having you on the show, man. I feel like you can, feel comfortable being a part of the show at any time. You know, stay on the air with us as long as you like. This is how we do it around the coffee table. If y'all want to come on and join us around in this conversation, it's 347-989-0844. If you're online, listening online, you just click on the button there. You can Skype in. You can join our conversation, get around the table here. That's 347-989-0844. Ray, I think you were going to come in on a couple things here.
Well, I agree with Lavelle with Leiner. You know, I always thought that Leiner was a good quarterback, but he had a couple games before Warner got in there and just blew up that he lost his confidence and had to sit down. And then, like happens, you know, many times in the NFL, if that quarterback gets hot and that team starts winning, you get to carry the clipboard. So it's his time to come back. You know, I think that he's always been a good quarterback. He just lost his confidence a little bit. That Arizona team still has a lot of pieces to the puzzle. And, you know, if they can get on the ball and get rolling early, they can certainly make some noise. Cincinnati, you know, there again their tip, you know, they weren't ever as good, I saw it in the last 5 years, until they started running the ball with Benson. You know, as soon as he started playing well, they started playing well. And you know, Cedric is you know, he's proven to be the running back that everybody thought he should be. And if he can, you know, stay healthy and that running game stays going, then, you know, Carson Palmer, he can sit back there with a little bit of time to chew people up.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, and that's what makes the defense look better. You can run the ball, you can stay consistent. It keeps Palmer upright. You know, T.O., I think that's in some ways, people would say that's a good situation for him. I think he gets along with Chad. Carson is strong enough to handle those personalities. You know, so I think, you know, they're going to be interesting. That's going to be a tough division, though. I know Baltimore has some injuries. They're going to be nursing and stuff, but they're still going to be tough. Pittsburgh is going to bounce back. They're going to get back to running the football a little bit more. Cleveland could be solid a little bit. I mean, Cleveland is, you know, they got Cribs, and, you know, they're looking at running that Wildcat, you know, as well with Jake DeLome. So, I think there are some, you know, that's going to be Carson would say he could think they can win every game, and that's true, but it's going to be tough getting out that division. That division is going to have a lot of challenges.
I think what Palmer's looking at, though, is the fact that, you know, I don't think T.O. or Ucho, if you want to call it that, I don't think either of them have been on a team with a receiver. You know, Husman Zada was a great, you know, and I thought he was a great receiver, but T.O. is T.O. So when these two guys, when they just head out on the field, they got to be looking at each other like, I got the good matchup, you know. One of them is going to be waving at Carson like, I can beat this guy. Mm-hmm. I can beat this guy deep. I can beat him short. I can beat him anywhere you want me to beat him. You know, one of them, every time that they come out of the huddle, is going to be waving. I got him. I got the guy. I got the guy we can beat.
But you just said the key to the win last year was running the football, and that's where those two receivers are going to keep their stuff in check.
Sure.
This getting 100 yards is more important sometimes than them getting 100 yards receiving.
Vince
moving those chains, keeping that defense in check, three and out, is why they win.
But at no time in T.O.'s career has he ever just stepped out on the field and felt that he was, he always had the tough matchup. Always, you know, and, you know, every defense that ever played against him keyed on him. Or, you know, in all of those D-backs, whoever was the best D-back out there, it was mano a mano, you know. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to have that second D-back, that guy that can be beat. And, you know, there's not too many teams in the league that have the kind of, you know, that safety on that. Whoever's playing safety on that other team has got to have indigestion. Where's he gonna go? But back. All he can do is go back. You know, he can go so far back. He'll be in the locker room. He'll be buying popcorn. All he can do is backpedal, because you can't let one of these guys get behind you. It's over. And Carson, Carson, at some point, Carson's just gonna go, look, I'm throwing it to the 10-yard line. You two fight for the motherfucker. I don't care which one of you get it. One of you go get it. You know. When you have, you know, that's got to be a dream for a quarterback. You know, think about a team with two receivers like that. Two tall, lanky, fast, strong guys that'll just go up and get the ball.
So my question to y'all then, which team is getting the most hype is probably going to come up the most disappointing?
The Jets.
The Jets?
Yes.
The Jets.
Yes.
LaVell,
yes.
Why the
Thank
Jets,
you.
Man?
Thank you.
Why the Jets?
It's because, for one, they have a second-year quarterback that's not that mobile. You know, that he still has to learn the system, for one. And by them not keeping Thomas Jones is going to be a big problem, because I don't think LT still have a lot in the tank, even though he's been working out and seems to be rejuvenated. And, I mean, the attitude that they have is like they're just going to walk straight to the Super Bowl. You know, Rex Ryan is very arrogant, you know, and they're having problems with paying Revis. They should have just gave Revis that money, you know, and let him.
Right.
But Sanchez, to me, is going to be the key. and you know, Edwards, that guy drops more balls than anything. I mean, you know, so I don't believe that they're going to live up to the hype. Sanchez is going to be the key, and he's not going to hold up. You know, I believe he's going to get hurt at some point at some time, somewhere down the line, and he's not going to be able to handle it. And man, he got a lot of pressure on him. This is not USC again.
That's exactly the key.
If they have success, with these guys.
Yeah, if they have success, it's because Tomlinson is healthy and able to help them out. Because Sanchez is not going to surprise anybody this year with what he brings. So the way that they're talking, you know, they're not doing much. You know, they should have kept Thomas Jones. I like Tomlinson, but Thomas Jones, wherever he's gone, has been successful.
When he left the Bears, I was like, that's a terrible move.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was a hard soul, ran hard. Curtis Martin made a living on 7-8 yard runs.
That's right.
15-yard runs. And people get enamored with the guy who can break it for 30 yards. Now, I want a cat that can move the chains.
Chicago drafted Benson, and Jones became expendable, and it was a mistake. That rookie season for Benson, he should have been just following Thomas around just to find out what he does, to find out how he does it.
They got the Super Bowl because of that, because of Thomas Jones.
Right.
That's right. So, yeah, you got to be able to replace that hard running, and he's a good guy. He seems to be a good guy for the locker room. So
right.
Leadership and all that stuff. And so Tomlinson's got to bring that. He's got to bring that hardcore toughness. And people have questioned that the past couple of years with him, you know,
he's been nicked up. And that's, you know, when Tomlinson was healthy, there was no running back like him. You know, San Diego rode his behind to death. Any success that they had, they made some mistakes around him simply because they had him. I mean, when they got rid of Breeze, you know, they never had any receivers. You know, they just had Tomlinson. I mean, you know, when you have a running back that'll get you 1,700 yards and catch 100 balls for you, you're wearing him out. You're trying to kill him. And
that's what I was telling my guy the other day. I was saying that's why Chris Johnson wants his money, because that's exactly what they did to Eddie George. They're going to do to Chris Johnson.
That's exactly
it. He's going to be pulled out by the time he's 30.
They're not going to put anything around him. They're not going to pay anybody else. They're going to wear him out. They're going to fill the seats with Chris Johnson, and Chris Johnson should get a nickel for every seat they got, for every game they play. You know, he should get his money right away. There's no sense of him waiting to get it. You know, he may have signed that rookie contract, but the way that they've been playing him, he's not long for this league. Earl Campbell was a great running back.
I have a question for you guys. Too. I was saying, like, I know you probably guys saw it on Mike and Mike probably about maybe last week, about the strike with the NFL player, and they were talking about, you know, the GFN to get, you know, and they want those guys to take that 3 years for those rookies. And then after the 3 years, they would be unrestricted free agents. But usually players going to get better, going to get good into their third year. How do you think that's going to play out with those guys? And then they want to split the $200 million pool and take $100 million to the rookie to take the other $100 million into the veterans. But how are the veterans even going to get that? The owners just might get greedy and still pay the veterans, you know, whatever they want, like they always do.
And what you're going to see is, just like with any other union, the people that aren't represented, the people that are underrepresented are going to get stolen from. And those are the players that are not there, the veterans and the rookies that are coming in. They're going to get stolen from. That contract's going to be negotiated by players that are in the league, and they're going to negotiate their contract to their best interest. And if that means they starve out the rookies and they starve out the retired vets, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not going to be right, but it's going to be what happens.
But you got to say, I mean, with Sam signed, you know, the incredible signing bonus he had, you know,
at some point, a rookie who's never played a down shouldn't be coming that kind of money in. And I know it's not basketball. You know, I know with some of these people, we're just talking about running backs having short careers and things like that. But I think they do need to have a rookie wage scale. It's got to
broaden. What do you think the most should be? If you was running it, what would you give them?
Well, I think the 3 years and then free agency, I don't know how that's going to work in terms of the balance of the league. So I'm not sure if that's the right way to go. What I would say is there should be a cap on the signing bonus. $40 million guaranteed for a rookie. There should be some kind of cap on the guaranteed signing bonus. The problem that the league has is that they talk about this money they're giving out, but it's really paper. So, like, other than the guaranteed money, I mean, that's why these players are fighting the way they're fighting. It's because the contracts aren't really guaranteed. Like, if I sign for 7 years, the money I'm really getting that's in the bank is the guaranteed money. They can cut me at any point in that contract. So I think part of it is they got to talk about what portion of the contracts are the guaranteed money and how that might play out, because that's going to curb this push for these $60 million signing bonuses, because that's the only time you get it. You know, if you pay Manny and Brady, you got to get the 100 mil.
Right.
Because they might sign you for a 7-year deal, but you know you're not going to be here at the end of that deal. They can cut you. They don't have to pay you. So the owner's got that kind of going. So I think you got to have something that's manageable. The other thing they said they want to do with that pot of money is help to handle some of the people who are, alums of the league, the retirees, and in terms of health insurance and benefits, which I agree with. That's something – that's an issue, particularly folks who play, pre the big – salaries, you're talking about, pre, I don't know what they're talking about, pre-80, pre-whatever.
I don't agree with it. They should go for 90. Because I had to play it in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they got to talk about how they might cover some of these players. I believe they should have some money to support some of these players in terms of the health conditions and things like that. That part of the biggest part of it, I mean, the NFL is trying to roll back the portion of the money that goes to the players versus that goes to the owners. They're trying to roll back that clock. But the bottom line is the NFL's got it good, because none of that money for most of these players, these contracts, other than the signing bonuses and that money in the first year, none of that money is really guaranteed for these players. So if it's a 5-year deal, you can do it.
They can structure all of those contracts based on, just whatever the cost of living is, whatever the first pick made last year, the first pick this year should make that much more, whatever the cost of living was. What happens is that nobody opens these books. These owners are talking about the monies that they've lost over the last contract, but nobody wants to open their books. The only team that opens their books are the Packers, with their the city owned, or they don't have an owner. But Jerry Jones isn't opening his books. He's not saying, come in and take a look at what I've lost, because I don't think Jerry's lost any money.
So
what the players are saying, and what the players should be saying, is that the things that we want to get away with or get away from are those things like, putting a franchise tag on somebody year in and year out. Orlando Pace should be suing the NFL for what they did to him.
That's
for what St. Louis would do to him year in, year out, not sign him to a long-term deal, not negotiate with him, just tag him. We ain't got to talk to you, Orlando. We'll just tag you. We're going to pay you. You're going to be one of the top three paid linemen every year, but we might not keep you next year. We're not going to give you any bonus. That's what has to stop. Those guys, I don't hate them for getting those bonuses. The other players hate these rookies for getting those bonuses.
Yeah, you got to be a cap on a rookie bonus.
Right.
I mean, $50 million guaranteed, and you haven't even taken a cap. And so,
DeMarcus Russell.
That's right,
DeMarcus Russell.
Right.
You hit it right on the head. I mean, and that's where folks like, even a Jake DeLome got to be resentful, right? You got to say, okay, how is this cat getting all this money? So I think they got to curb that. I think they're in agreement with that. I think the players and the owners are in agreement with a rookie wage scale, things like that. I think, but how much of that contract is guaranteed? Because I'm going to act a fool if I know that, yeah, we're talking about this stuff, but I know you can cut me at any point. Then I'm doing what Revis and all these cats are doing, right?
I'm doing what Haynesworth is doing.
Yeah.
I'm doing it. I sign a contract. You hire a new coach. He brings in a new defense. I got to learn a new position. And you don't want me to say anything because you gave me $21 million. The hell with you.
Yeah.
The hell with you. You know, I'm used to playing over here. I get down in this four-point stance over here. Now you want me to get down in a four-point stance over here. Over here, there are three players ready to crack my skull. Over here, I got one, and I can whip his tail.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, and everybody, you know, everybody getting caught up. You know, it's probably going to get to the point to where it's probably 70 or 80% of the team's going to be running that 3-4. Everybody's doing adapting to the changing over to the 3-4. I guarantee and it's going to happen when Lovie Smith loses his job, whichever coach comes in there, he's going to change that to the 3-4.
Right.
That's
because
what everybody's
that's what you
doing.
The way that the game is geared towards that quarterback and receivers with all that they can get away with and how well protected they are, now you're only going to rush three players because you need some speed linebackers to cover all the stuff that they get away with. But again, if they can sit down, if the NFL can sit down and just structure this, that, you know, my biggest fear with this next negotiation is that they'll lose this salary cap. And Devon, you and I have talked about this before, and when they lose that salary cap, you know, you are going to have a situation just like baseball, where the owners of the rich teams, the New Yorks, the Dallases, the LAs, you know, don't think Al Davis won't sell everything he owns to put down a team that will win, and he'll buy every team or every player he can find. And that's it, as a fan. Let them worry about who's getting paid. As a fan, let them figure that out. As a fan, what you want to do and what you want to get angry about is the idea that if they lose their salary cap, football as you know it is no longer going to be. You're going to be watching, you know, four or five teams, and the rest is this farm system.
But this is an interesting thing about that, because that's what Washington basically did, right?
That's exactly
but it doesn't work. See, football is an interesting game that's different than baseball, is that it ain't enough just to pick up some cats that look like the talent. You can't get an Alex and a Jeter and a – I mean, they figure out, you know, individually they get up the bat. Football is a continuity thing. I mean, that's what Washington did. He went and bought everybody.
Well,
he bought all-stars. They bought all-stars. You're not guaranteed that kind of outcome.
But
you got the right kind of system, coach. There's other pieces that have to be in play.
Sure, and in football you always get nicked up too. I mean, that's, you know, once you start to gather this kind of talent, if somebody gets hurt, you spend a lot of money, you know, in a bad area. Football, you know, you're reluctant to spend that kind of money because that player could get nicked. You know,
that happened after about a year or two after. That San Francisco had that stack, and they won the Super Bowl. Then Daniel Snyder tried to do it. What, Jeff George was their quarterback at the time?
Right.
And they went and got all the players. I think Richard did, and they went and got all these different players, and it didn't work. And then what? And it's a lot of teams that have those high pay roles, and that doesn't do them. Hey, look at my cubby. They always in the top five or something in their payroll and never go anywhere. You know, it's all about the system and the coaches, you know, and like you said,
it's
on injury. But I agree also, they should have more guaranteed money because it's the most risk. I mean, it's no secret, man. These people run into each other like, you know, 30 miles per hour or something, two cars. And, I mean, you know, they need some more guarantee. You know, that the owners are getting over like fat rats. They're getting on TV. You know, with the poker face,
that's exactly it. But the whole system is warped. You know, the owners are rich men to begin with, and they're getting richer off of these franchises. These players are getting richer by the day. I don't hate them, but you know, I'll understand it better when the NFL has to have a bake sale to make ends meet, and my local school, you know, is handing out scholarships. You know,
yeah, and I think that's the thing about
I don't feel sorry for the NFL.
What I would say is a lot of this is posturing, and don't let get it fooled. I mean, they know they got the golden goose, and we don't pull some stuff up. We got more people who want to join the party. Hold on a second. Let me see what we got here. This is Real Sports Guys. Who got in the air? You joining the party? Who's this? Hello? Who do we have here? You there? Hello? Hello? All right. We hit him on. He's on the air somewhere. So I think it's another one from the 414 on the air. So if you decide to get on the phone, get on the phone with us. Or call back. But look like we had another person for the 414 jumping on the line with us. But we'll get back to this point. I'll give him a chance to call back here at some point. We'll put him back on hold. But I think, you know, in terms of this is they got the best thing going. So
yeah.
they're not going to get too crazy with it. They
got
the best thing going.
As much as legislature gets involved in everything else, before we have a strike in the NFL, before we have, you know, too much talk about revenue, losing the revenue sharing, you know, I think that especially the way that these municipalities and these states and these cities are building stadiums and getting involved that way, I think that at some point somebody's just going to have to say, open the books. The NFL players can't argue about the money they're being paid if the owners can show them that they can't, you know, continue to pay them at this rate. The NFL players are not going to reject some of these contracts that they're going to get. I mean, $21 million, if they can afford to pay a bonus of $21 million, there's going to be an NFL player that would take it. So,
yeah.
I mean, they really need to open these books because they are, to me, they are community entities. When they're able to just, you know, when the Ravens can just up and leave Cleveland the way that they did, you know, some of these municipalities need to say, open your books up. Let's see if you're losing money.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. LaBelle, did you have something you want to add on to that one?
Yeah, I mean, basically whatever, you know, everything that he said, I basically agree with. You know, I've been, you know, preaching that for years, man. I just don't believe they're losing no money because a lot of those teams, too, it all goes about, man, it's a business to them. And they look at their bottom line every year. That's why they don't. But some of them don't even try to win. Some of them sell out without even winning. I mean, look at the Packers all those years when they, for the Brett Favre era, still selling out. You know, and a lot of them don't care. It's about, you know, back money into their bank. They just make bad move after bad move. They think they can throw a lot of when the fans get up in arms. You know, Daniel, oh, I want it. Everybody wants to win. Okay, I'm going to go get this big payroll, you know, and it doesn't happen. And, you know, you get other guys out there, oh, I'm broke. You know, we need some type of revenue sharing or something. Give me some money or give me more money. You know, and it's bull. It's bull. And I don't remember when a team ever went bankrupt.
Yeah.
No. No, you know, I've heard them, you know, I've heard them cry that we aren't making any money. We need to build a new stadium. You know,
yeah.
If you don't build me a new stadium, we're going to leave, you know, and not too many teams leave. They end up getting their stadiums. You know,
yeah.
Jerry Jones, he'll build a $1 billion stadium by himself.
And I think that's the key for the players. You know, they got to make sure that they address the issue around guaranteed money. You know, because it's not really because the A list in any sport, the top player is gonna get theirs.
Right.
Hey, man, he's in all number of the world get there. We're talking about the second level, first low level players, where you know, and that's where football's never really had that unity. You know, like baseball. You know, and so you know where are you know they got to see whether or not they're gonna hold tight for. Those other players, those people who are on special teams, some of these guys who are going to get like a 2-3 year run in the league, or you know some of these running backs who are only lasting three to four years. I mean, where are they going to be able to get you know the resources that they need, and what happens with them in terms of their care after they leave the game?
Well, see, that's another thing they need to address, not just in their health care and their mental health, but so many of these young guys, you know, 2-3 years, if not while they're even playing, are broke. How do you make that kind of money and you're broke? Where are you getting your advice? Nobody should be able to really tell you how to spend your money. But it should fall on the NFL. It should fall on the NBA, Major League Baseball, to educate these young men. They should not be, you know, Walmart greeters, you know, 5 years after they get out of the league because they have no money. You know, it's insane the amount of money they can make and go through. And they all have that I'm going to play forever mentality and find out, you know, forever is only 3 years, and you might not have signed anything more than that rookie contract, and you still should have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of your life. Even the worst-paid NFL player is going to make about $380,000 this year for just making the team. Mm-hmm. That dude that, you know, he ain't never going to see the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how is it that these guys are going broke? And the NFL, you know, needs to work on that, especially these young players that don't finish school or go to college. You know, they need to have – that should be part of their regimen. Just as important as showing up to mini camp, you know, or winter camp, you know, show up and get this education, you know, get this, you know, here's a financial advisor that the NFL is going to guarantee. It's going to at least put you in some investments that aren't going to allow you to be broke at any given time.
That's true.
Don't go out and buy that Rolex if you only get that $350,000 contract, you know. Don't get two diamonds, one for each year. You know, save
don't buy everybody in your family a house.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
You know, and it is. They don't teach them. A la what? Kwame Brown was on the verge. With Antoine Walker. You know, Eddie Curry down there making big mistakes. Like you said, they don't have nobody to take these guys under their wing and actually show them, because look where you're pulling these guys from. They're basically coming from nothing. They're coming from doo-doo to sugar quick, overnight, like lottery. You know?
Right.
So they don't understand.
Right.
But I have an 18-year-old son. If you come right now and drop a $40 million bonus in his lap, and no one ever taught him to do anything, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to party. He's going to buy a whole lot of things, whatever he saw on TV, whatever he was dreaming of at night. And, you know, and he's going to make a lot of irresponsible decisions.
You hit it right on the head. I mean, we don't have to look any further than the lottery system. We talk about the number of people who become millionaires from the lottery and then become broke, because you can't hold on to $1 million until you have $1 million mindset. And that's part of it, is that you have to grow into that responsibility. That's one thing I respect about LeBron and how he's grown, is that LeBron has grown into that billion-dollar mindset. As much as we've been on him and on him, the thing he does have is a million-dollar, billion-dollar mindset. He's growing into that. And our different level of thinking.
Yeah, and he had great people around him. He had Jay-Z as his mentor. If you have somebody like that mentoring you, he's going to show you the right things to do instead of Pookie from around the corner telling you what to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, and that's what people, I mean, a lot of guys probably wouldn't want to do it, but, you know, that would be my advice even if I didn't know what to do. If somebody became a millionaire overnight, I say go seek out another millionaire that's been a millionaire for over 15 to 20 years and talk to this guy.
That's right.
He'll give you a lot of advice to what you need to do and how to handle your money. Like I say, you don't need 5 and 6 houses, 7 and 8 cars, you know, trying to take care of everybody. You know, you have to be responsible and smart with your money, because, like you said, at the end of the day, you're going to be a Walmart greeter, or you're going to be out here trying to flip the little money that you have in drugs, and then they're going to find you laying somewhere in a bush in Memphis like what they did with the guy. You know?
That's right. And you can't expect the NBA to do it. You have to expect that the union pushes for that, because the NBA, the same owners that are trying to keep you from getting the money, aren't going to care about what you do with it once you get it. As long as you show up and play, you don't see the NBA out looking for somebody in the bushes. Finding out if they got shot. You don't see that happening. The NBA's not doing that. When Dennis Rodman was sitting in the parking lot in Detroit with a gun in his car, you know, contemplating suicide because his marriage was messed up, you didn't see the Pistons running out there going, oh, wait, Dennis, we got somebody for you to talk to. They were trying to cover it up. They were trying to hide it. You know,
and quick story about Kwame Brown. Popeye Jones was his biggest influence. This when he got his first check, which was like $40,000 or $50,000, he went to the bank, cashed it, and put all the money in his pocket. They said he came to practice with all the money in his four pockets, and Popeye Jones was like, what you got in your pockets? And he was like, I just cashed my check, like it was just a regular warehouse job. And Popeye Jones took him under his wing, showed him the things that he needed to do, and then it came out later that Sam Mitchell, when Kevin Garnett went to Minnesota, did the same thing. He said, yeah, I went and cashed my check like I was working at work, working for Pick and Save or Piggly Wiggly or something, and put all that money in my pocket.
Right.
And it's what you said, Lavelle, you know, folks are coming from the neighborhood. You said from poo-poo to sugar. you know, folks are coming from nowhere, and you can't just jump into a $1 million industry and mindset without real mentoring. And that's the underbelly of these kinds of negotiations. And these are issues that never really get to the table in terms
of. And the thing about it is, some of the best mentors would be the Magic Johnsons, would be the Julius Irvings. Go invest in Pepsi. Go find some movie houses. Go buy some, go revitalize your own neighborhood. Not buy everybody a house. Put up a store that they can afford to go to. Open up a bank.
Who's that? Steve Smith, Derek Coleman, Chris Webber, and Jalen Rose are doing it right now in Detroit.
Yep. They're taking the Magic Johnson formula and pulling it off. That's it. And that's got to be part of this whole thing. I mean, I think, and we're going to have a show about this when we're going to start talking a little about, we're going to get it out there, in terms of what the modern-day athletes got to do in terms of building a brand. I think that's an important show for us to do because, to me, that's the future. I mean, when you're talking about a lot of the issues that we have here, some of these folks are the new Rockefellers, the new Fords, the new, all these folks. Yeah, the Gates. Some of these folks together have power, and how are they utilizing their power to make change? And is that their responsibility? You could say no or yes, but you could say, a lot of people help you get where you are.
Exactly. And if they can do that and make sure that they always have a nickel in their pocket, then yes, I think it's their responsibility. Yes, I think that they should be afforded the opportunity to go back to wherever they earn that money, and wherever they started, wherever they need the help and provide that help. And they need to get the mentoring to make that happen.
Well, I'm going to say this, gentlemen, we are running down. Lavelle, you can come on the show anytime, man.
Every Tuesday.
Okay.
Every Tuesday you can come and join us into the conversation. This is how we do it. This is Real Sports Guy. I felt like I was in a barbershop today.
Me too.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Lavelle. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And join us again. Hey, I'm going to be in we're going to be doing a show here, and in 2 weeks I'm going to be calling in, hopefully from Shanghai, China. We're about to take this global. We really are glad to have these kind of conversations here. And we got to go. We always end up with final thoughts. So final thought, Ray.
Final thought. Brett Favre, if you come back in 6 weeks, it's too early. If you come back when somebody gets hurt, I'll understand. And if you don't come back, good luck on the farm.
Lavelle, would give you a final word.
Final word, basically, like you said, to Brett Favre, it was a good career. Don't get carted off like Joe Theismann. Just ride off to the sunset. You did your best. Salute number four and make way for my bear.
And I want to say to y'all, watch them Steelers, y'all. We going to do what we going to do. Until next week, it's the Real Sports Guys. We look forward to having some more folks join us on the air next week. Take care.
All right, take care.
Yep.
Take care of the bill. Thank you.
Danny was like, whatever you do.